as I look around and see these young people sitting around on the ground, it always reminds me of what Brother Clarence Walker told when he was in revival meetings. It used to be when you announce a revival meeting that the people would flock in by the hundreds, they'd fill the buildings, and people would sit around on the floor and the like of that. And he said one time while he was in a revival meeting that the children were all gathered around, and the platform and all, some of them had their little fingers sticking over, you know. And he said to one of the little children, "Now, honey," said, "get your hands back," said, "I don't want to step on your fingers." And she looked up at him and said, "Preacher," said, "it's all right." Said, "My mommy said you stepped on her toes last night. So it doesn't matter, see?" Well, we're glad to see this good group here. And tonight, we might call your attention, the Lord willing, in October, or the first day of October, starting the 25th of September and going through the 1st of October, we will be with the Pleasant Home Baptist Church. And any of you that can, we'd be glad to have you come and visit with us. Some of you know where it is, down here on Eagle Hill, just up out of Glencoe. And so we'd be glad for you to come. As I come to you tonight, I want to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to exalt Him. And as we do, we want to think just a minute about a young fella that the Lord was dealing with. And he was out in the field. He was plowing. And he came in at noon and he says to his dad, he said, "I'm not going back this afternoon." His dad said, "What do you mean you're not going back?" "I'm just not going back." He said, "I've seen a vision." He said, "What is that vision?" He said, "I looked up and I saw in the sky three letters, GPC. And he says, "The Lord has called me to preach." He says, "Go preach Christ." And his dad looked at him a little bit and he said, "I think you misinterpreted that. That sign meant go plow corn." He said, "You go back to what where you've been in the morning." And so tonight I want to preach Jesus Christ, and I want to think concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have 6 points to my message, and the first message, or the first point, will start with the letter C. The next one will start with an H, and then the next one will be R, and I, S, and T. And when I get down to the T, you'll know that I've about come to the end of my message. And so tonight, as we think of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to read in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, the first 3 verses. Matthew 24 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, as we look at this, we want to look at the last part of the 3rd verse for our text tonight, just a portion of it. Now, there are 3 questions that are asked in this last part. We want to deal with the middle part. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, as we look in the last part of it, there is the question, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Now, there's one question. Now, as we look at this, we find that they're asking concerning the temple here. Then the next thing that we see, and he says, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Now, this is the part that we want to talk to you about tonight, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last part of this question is, "And of the end of the world." Now, there are many people who have the idea that the end of the world and the second coming of the Lord are both the same thing. But if you'll study your scripture, that there are at 2 different times, the end of the world and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are several things that we want to look at tonight. Many people do not know the difference between the coming of the Lord and the end of the world, or the consummation of this age. I want to look back in my life. I can remember when I lived over at New Richmond, Ohio. about 30 miles or 20 miles out of Cincinnati. About 2 o'clock in the morning, we heard somebody knocking on our door. We lived in a house trailer. It's a great big one, 27 foot long, and that was back in 49. And they said, "Wake up, get up." I said, "Look out here, see if you think the world's coming to an end." We got up and we looked out, and we could see across the Ohio River into the Kentucky side, along about Fort Thomas or somewhere in that area, there was a huge pipeline had broken loose, a gas line. It had ignited, and it was throwing flames into the air, and it lighted up all of the Ohio Valley there along the New Richmond area. We just turned around and went back in and went to bed, and the next morning we got up, and the neighbor came to us and said, "Well, you didn't even seem excited." I said, "No, I wasn't excited, because I know when the Lord comes back that you're not going to be here to tell me about it. I'm going to be raptured. I'm going to be taken out, and you won't be able to call me. I won't even be here. You may be, but I'm not going to be here." There was another man that was expressing his feeling about this, and he said, "You know, when I saw the skies all lighted up and red and looked like the world was on fire, I wanted to pray, and I didn't know how to pray. So I said, 'Amen, amen, amen,' 3 times, just as fast as I could." And he just thought that he was doing the best that he knew how. But I tell you tonight that at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be too late for people to prepare to get ready when the Lord comes back, because it's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that we're going to be taken out. So as we look tonight, we realize that when we believe that the Lord is going to return, this is the rapture that we read of. This is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that He will come in the air. We read over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and in the 17th verse, He says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, as we look at this, I believe the tribulation period is going to be a 7-year period. It's over a 7-year time. And then at the end of this, we find that the Lord is going to come back to the earth. He's going to reign here on the earth 1,000 years. But when Jesus comes, it's going to be too late for you to get ready. We've come here to Warsaw. We stand Sunday after Sunday preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging men to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because as we look at the signs of the time, it's sure to be in the end time. And as we study tonight, I want us to realize that it could be even this very moment in which that the Lord will come back. And that's why we're here, that you might hear, that you might take inventory of your life, so that you might be ready when the Lord does come. If it comes in the morning, comes in the evening, that you might be ready when that time is. It is necessary that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, we encourage you tonight to take Him, to receive Him as your Lord and as your personal Savior. In the book of Matthew again, in the 24th chapter, and we read in the 32nd and 33rd verse, He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." So we look at this, He's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, when we see these things being fulfilled, when we see the signs, it's just like a tree that puts forth its buds. When we see the buds coming out, we know that spring is near. And when we see the signs that the Lord has been giving here in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, we can know that the end time is drawing very near, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And as we look also, we realize the Scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be the same way in the coming of the Son of God. We look tonight and we see how that the Scripture says that in the days of Noah, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. We look out today and we see people who are marrying. There are Christian people who are marrying unsaved people. We find people who are divorced and Christian people marrying them. We find that marriage has no sacredness to us whatsoever. People are marrying and they're divorcing, they're remarrying and going on like this. This, I believe, is the way that it was in the days of Noah. And also we find that there is no respect for parents. Now, we hear this all the time, but this thing has not been like it has been in the years gone by. I believe if we can see it in any respect, we're going to see that it has grown worse instead of getting better, that the children have little respect and very little. And I don't blame the children for this. I blame the parents for the course the children are, the course that they're taking. We can't blame the children because they're doing what we've taught them. And as someone has pointed out, the drug and the alcohol and things like that, it's not the boys and girls that we have to blame. I'll tell you who it is. It's the generation that grew up before them. It's you and I. We're responsible. It's the mothers and the fathers that are bringing the dope out of place into our own country. It's right here that they're raising the stuff and they're putting it on the market. The children couldn't get it if the adults were not producing it for them. And so we look today. We don't have to blame them because of their disobedience, but we need to look at ourselves. We're responsible. And so tonight, we want to point our finger at ourselves and say, what have I done to train and I to teach my children? The scripture says that in the last days, the iniquity will abound. And we find also it says that the love of many shall wax cold. And I believe that as we look at this, this is talking about saved people who are growing cold spiritually. And we ask, why is it today that we don't have revival? It's not in the lost people. We look out. We say, why don't the lost people want to come to church? I'll tell you why lost people don't want to come to God's house. It's because that they look at us as Christians and they see the things that are going in our lives. And they say, well, my life is just as good as those who go to church. Why should I attend church? Why would I play the part of a hypocrite when they can look at those that are in the church and say, I'm a child of God, and they can't see any difference in their lives? I had two men that lived in my community when I was pastor of the Clear Creek Baptist Church near Versailles, Kentucky. One of them was supposed to be a Christian. His name was on the church roll, and his brother did not profess anything. And as I would talk to him, I'd ask him about accepting the Lord. And he says, I can't see any difference in my life and the life of my brother. We go to the same places. We do the same thing. We work together. I see him almost 24 hours a day. We live just a few miles apart. Just when we speak, the only time that I'm not with him. And he says, there's no need for me to become a Christian. And that's the attitude that a lot of people have when we go to them. And you say, we want you to become a Christian. And they say, there's no need for me to become a Christian. We need to preach unto them the Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of many shall wax cold. And then also we look out today. The gospel is being preached in all of the lands. I've never seen the like of missionaries that are going out today. They're preaching the word. They're going into various parts of the country. I think we support 7 or 8 different missionaries and they're scattered throughout the world. The gospel is being preached, and I believe this is one of the signs that we can see that the end time is drawing very near. And so we find, first of all, my first point, I get to it, see that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Now the scripture tells us and verifies this very fact over in the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter and in the 2nd and 3rd verse. In the last part of the 2nd verse, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am coming back. And I believe it. I believe that he is coming. I believe that he's going to reign here. I believe that he's going to come back to this earth. Also, if you turn in the book of Acts in the first chapter and in verses 10 and 11, we read this. Now we find the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. We see that he has been resurrected. We see him as he goes back into heaven. He says in the 10th verse of Acts 1, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back. These witnesses bore record of this, that Jesus is coming back. Then also we find over in the book of Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, and in the 28th verse, he says this in the last part. I'll read the whole verse. He says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord, he is coming. And then again, if we read to you a portion of it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 through 17, that I would not have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We look forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is coming. This is our first point. Then we go on to the next one, the H. And I believe that when he comes back, he's going to take us into heaven. He's going to take us to be with him. Now someone said, well, again, where do you think heaven is? I'll tell you where I think it is. Heaven is where that Christ is. And someone has said, well, now, where about you? If I were going to look, where would I go? Where would I consider heaven? I'll tell you what I would do. If I were looking for heaven, I'd look straight out. You say, well, that's straight out. But if you're looking at the earth and we're standing on the earth, we're looking straight out. That's the way that we look for the Lord. The scripture says that he was caught up into the air. And that's the way that I'm going to look. Paul says, men in white apparel. He said he's going to come back and just see him go into heaven. He's going to come back, and that's the way it went. I believe the Lord is in heaven, and we're going to go. We're going to be with him. Then also, as we look at this, that is, as Paul talked about, being caught up into the third heaven. Now, I don't know whether he went all caught up collectively or whether he was caught up into the third heaven, but I know tonight that it's beyond what I can see. I can look out, and I can see the clouds. I can look out, and beyond that, I can see the stars, but somewhere beyond that is where heaven, I believe, is, and that God is there, and we're going to be with him. Now, I believe that there is a place called heaven. There's a lot of people who say, well, now, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in a hell, but I believe it because God's word says it. That settles it for me, brother. That's all I need. God's word says it, and I believe that just as sure as I'm here, God tells me how I came to be here. He tells me what I'm doing here, and he tells me where I'm going by the word of God. So tonight, I believe that there is a place called heaven. Then also the same book that tells us about heaven tells us about hell. This is a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but at the second coming, I'm going to go into heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. I believe heaven is our eternal home. Heaven's where we're going to dwell with the Lord forever. John tells us in the 14th chapter that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and this people is prepared by God that we might be received up into heaven. This is our eternal home. And he tells us to lay up our treasures that in heaven, because where our treasures are, there will our heart be also. We're going to leave them here, the things that we have on this earth, and we're going to be gathered up into heaven. And so this is my second point. He is coming. We're going to heaven. We're going to be with him. Then also, as we look at this, this is going to be a great reunion day. A great reunion at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those of you who are pastors, you know just a little bit about what reunions are, because when our attendance drops down in the summertime, a lot of times when it goes real low, there's been about 3 or 4 family reunions, and our people have all disappeared because they only get to see them about 10 or 12 times a year, and so they zoom off and to see all the relatives. Now, this is for the preachers. The rest of you don't have to say amen, but this is the way it is. They take off. They got to go to a family reunion. I thank God that some of our people have family reunions, but these family reunions are after they've been to the house of the Lord. If you can't wait on them, why, then you go ahead and eat. They're going to worship the Lord, not praise the Lord. These are that faithful few that we can count on, we can depend on. I thank God for this. Those who have departed, those who have gone on before us, those that are asleep in the Lord, they've gone to be with him. And so we need to look at this and see that there is a great reunion day, a day in which that we're going to go to be with the Lord. As I think of this, we find that there are several passages of Scripture which makes me to believe that we're going to be reunited with our Lord. We're going to go to be with him. I think of the thief on the cross, where the Lord says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You're going to be with me when the life leaves this body. You're going to be with me. A reunion. There as they hung on the cross, we see them that he's going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Then also we find over in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, and the 23rd verse, Paul says this, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He was talking about dying or staying here on the face of the earth. He says, I want to stay with you all. I enjoy it here. I want to have some more fruit with you. But then I have a desire to depart and to go be with the Lord. So he says, I'm in a pool, one way and one the other. And so I'm just going to leave it up to the Lord. Let him work it out. And when he gets ready, he can take me home. And that's what we need to look. And we find that he one day was caught up to be with the Lord. Then also we find over in 2 Corinthians, as we turn there in the 5th chapter and in the 8th verse, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Move out of this old body. I'm going to go to be with the Lord. It's going to be a great reunion day. It's a day in which that we're going to be caught up. We're going to be able to be there. We're going to be able to talk, I believe, with Moses, with Elijah. We're going to be able to talk with those that have gone on before. I believe that we'll look at Jacob, even though that some of the things that he did, some of the conniving and trickery and all that he used, I believe it's going to be good to sit down and be able to talk with him, with Abraham, and with Peter and John, the fishermen. And I believe most of all, it's going to be a great reunion day. I'm going to see my Savior, first of all. That's the one that I look forward to. These others, they will enjoy the blessings of heaven with me. But I want to meet him, and I'll know him, as the songwriter has put it, by the print of the nail in his hand. And I thank God that we can sing this and have the assurance in our heart that there is a great reunion day coming. We're going to be with the Lord, those who are the children of God. And we come to the next point concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is coming. We find that if we're going to heaven, we find also that it's a great reunion day. And then also his second coming is imminent. That it can be at any moment. It could be at any time if I understand the scripture. Because that it is very near, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He encourages us in Matthew 24 and verse 44. He says, "Therefore be ye ready, for in an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." When you think not, when you least expect him, he's coming back. And then in Matthew 25 and verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Everything seemingly is ready for his return. You know, when I was in high school, I can remember we had what we called a high school play. And we started practicing about 6 months, seemed like, before the time that the play was supposed to be put on. And we'd learn our lines, and we'd go through this, and we'd go through that. We'd learn all of our parts, and then we'd learn when to come in. We'd learn when to go out. We'd learn what to do. We learned where to put everything on stage so that we could find it. Everything was ready. And at the set time, the curtains were drawn back, and the play went on. And as I look at this, we see our lives perhaps is something like this. We're putting things in order. We're getting things ready because the time is coming in which the heavens are going to be rolled back and the Lord is going to come. I can see him. I know that he's coming. And as we look at it, we find that he says that it can be at any time. It's a great day when Jesus shall appear. We're going to be caught up according to God's timetable. I believe that we can see that the end time is very near. I heard Brother Gormley preach this from Pastor O'Brien Station Baptist Church in Lexington, and I believe as I've studied about this, I go along with it. He says that there are 6,000 years that from the creation up until the rapture or the second coming of the Lord, and then we find at the end of this that there is going to be the tribulation or the millennial reign, the 1,000 years, and this gives us 7 days. Up 6 fingers for 7, but you know what I mean. But here we find that there is 2,000 years from creation unto the flood. Then we go from the flood on over to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is another 1,000 years. And then we find from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ until his coming back, until the time in which that he comes to reign, this is going to be another 2,000 years. So if this be the case, we add it up. We have our calendars which show 1972. Most of you will agree with this point if you don't agree with anything else in this place. But nevertheless, we say this is 1972. Now, I don't know it for a fact, but I've heard it that our calendars did not start until about 5 or 6 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we take this, we find that year would add to us something like 5 or 6 years, would make us in the year, actually, of our Lord, 1978. Then the scripture, I believe, tells us that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. Now, whether this fits in before the millennial reign, which it has to, this will put us up somewhere in the year, possibly 1985, from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I look also at a time in which that the sun stood still, and as we find that the Lord gave Israel the victory. Then I find another time when the sundial went back 10 degrees. And I look at these things and I say that as I figure them up, it looks like from God's timetable that it has to be the end time very near. And at the very most, it could not be over 12 or 13 years at the longest. You figure it up. If you know these things, you begin to get ready. And if we made a mistake somewhere along the line in our total, he could be here tonight. And so that's why we're preaching to you the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's on us. And we need to be ready. We need to get ready for this time, because it is near. And then, of course, if this is fulfilled, then we see God created the heavens and the earth. He made this world and all that's in it in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. The scripture says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And so we've got 6 of them. And through the millennial reign, which would make the 7th day with the Lord. So as we look at these things, we encourage you to be ready to look forward to the second coming of the Lord, because it is imminent. It is upon us. It can be at any time. C-H-R-I. And then also, as we look at the second coming of the Lord, it's going to be a day of separation. It's going to be a day of separation. As I think of this, we read in the scripture where that he tells us in the book of Matthew 24 and verse 40, he says, "Then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left." Now, I don't believe that he's saying half of the people are going to heaven and the rest of them are going to be left. I believe there are other scriptures that would tell us, like Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that there's many that are entering in at the broad gate and the wide road that leads to hell, and there are few that are on that narrow road and the straight road that leads unto life everlasting. But anyway, as we look at this, we find that there is going to be a separation day. There's going to be mothers who are going to be left here on the face of the earth. They're going to the crib, and their little babies are going to be gone. We look out and we see that there are dads that will go home to see their wives, and their wives won't be there. They look around for the children where they've been expecting them, where they always have been, and the children will be gone. And they'll begin to look, they'll begin to search, and what has happened? There'll be mothers and brothers and fathers and sisters. They'll all be taken out, those who are the children of God. And then as I look back, I realize what it means to be separated. I can look back in about 1946, whenever I went into the armed services of my country. I had the privilege of serving there, and I say it a privilege, and it was. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to serve my country, because it had taught me to be obedient unto the Word of God. I have a responsibility, I believe, according to God's Word, to be faithful to my country. And so as I look at this, I remember that morning, on Monday morning when I got up, and I dressed about 5:30, and I can remember going to the door, and I turned around, and there was my little old mother standing there with tears flowing down her cheeks, and she took me in her arms, and she kissed me, and she said, "I'll be praying for you." This was a separation day, and this is the first time I can remember going away from home, not knowing whether I'd ever be back or when I'd be back. It was a separation day. And as I look at that, I saw others who would walk off to war, and many of them didn't come back. I had several in my family that they went out to serve their country, and one on Okinawa, his body was mangled and beaten and blown up. I see there that as they gathered up his gold tags and made it part of his body, and they buried him there. And I see others in you that you were separated from your family. As we look at this, we know that there is a day coming in which we're going to have a reunion with those that are saved. But this separation, when you leave as a child of God, those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it's going to be an eternal separation. We'll never see those that we love in the flesh again if they're not the children of God. It's a separation day. And you look at this. Many people are separated today. I go with the congregation many times to that hillside there at Big Bone, and we lay the bodies of those that we love in the grave. We realize that only the bodies there, it'll decay and go back to dust. But one day there's going to be a resurrection. They're going to be gathered. They're going to be united. They're going to come in the air with the Lord. Jesus is coming back, and I look forward to it. If I didn't believe this, it would be a hard thing to go out and say goodbye to those that we love, we've worked with, to say to the mother and the father and the sons and daughters, as they would look at the loved ones and say, now there's a better day coming. Christ is going to resurrect them. We're going to be brought back. And so don't let your heart weep, but look forward to that glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a separation day, and it's an eternal separation day. Those that are left behind, it's going to be too late to say, I want to go back, and I want to bring them with me. If you have a loved one that you're concerned about, I say to you tonight, go to them now and give them the gospel. Amen. Tell them about Jesus Christ, because tonight, by tomorrow, it may be too late. We picked up the paper today and read where two live in our area. People that we knew had gone out into eternity. One, a woman about my age, and some of you wonder how old that is, I'm not going to tell you. But then there was another young man who went out into eternity, the age of my oldest daughter, graduated from high school with her. I picked up another paper from over in New Richmond, and I read there of a man, 46 years of age. I can remember the Sunday night that we sat on the pew. We were sitting just about this far back on the right side. There were four people, one row of pews back through here. And I can remember as God was dealing with my heart and I began to weep, I can remember this young man putting his arm around me and he said, Bobby, if you'll go forward, I'll go with you. And I looked at him and I said, Jimmy, it doesn't matter to me whether you go or not. God's dealing with my heart, and I'm going to publicly confess him as my personal Savior. And I see now his name, where that he once was the president of the bank there at New Richmond. I see where that it, later on he was a lawyer and carried on a business in Wickhamsville. As I look at this, I realize that there is a separation. If he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, I'm going to meet him one of these days. If he didn't, then he's going to go into eternal hell. We'll never see him. We'll never have any part again with him. And so that's the way it is with you tonight. We need to look at this and realize that this here is a day of separation. And then the last thing that we call your attention to, I believe that it's going to be a day of terror for those that are lost. The Lord is coming back. And I can imagine what it's going to be like when we think of the confusion today. If you go down into the city and you try to drive through there about 8 o'clock of the morning, or you try to come back through about 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock of the night. Just the other day of driving in, there was about 3 or 4 automobile accidents on the expressway. And as I think about this, when the Lord raptures those who are His children and takes us out, these automobiles running at 70, 80 miles an hour down the highway, and nobody could guide them, nobody to direct them. We see airplanes flying overhead. And then when the time comes that that pilot is raptured, when he's taken out, that plane will fly right on through the air. Those that are in it, if they don't know how to fly, they're going to be in a bad condition. We find that there is a doctor who's standing over an operating table, and someone says, give them a little more oxygen. And the one that is to give the oxygen, he disappears. He's gone. The rapture has taken place. The Lord has called him out into eternity. It's going to be a terrible day because there's no one to assist, no one to help in times like this. You call and you say, my house is on fire. That it's been set on fire and I don't know what caused it. And you call and there's nobody to answer the phone. When we look at these, they're going to be those that are left. It's going to be utter confusion. We think of it today, how the people say, oh, it's a terrible day. We're in a day of confusion. Yes, we are. But for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be raptured from the greatest day of confusion. And so tonight, as we try to point out that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those that are ready are going to heaven, then also after the Lord is going to be a great reunion. And then also His coming is imminent. It can be at any time. And then also it's the separation day. Also it is a great day of terror. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. You better repent tonight. Turn from your wicked way. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The only condition that can bring you at peace is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm sure that as I look out over the congregation, that there are some here tonight that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're on your road to an eternal hell. Tonight, if God speaks to your heart, we would encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him, because when that door is closed, it's going to be too late. We read in Matthew 25, and the first 10, 13 verses, we read of the bridegroom, those five wise virgins and five foolish ones. We read when the bridegroom came, it says, and while they went out to buy, these were the five foolish ones, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Let me encourage you tonight, while the door is open, while there's an opportunity, that you might receive him, that you might accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. I think back in the Old Testament, a day in which that Noah built the ark, and God said, Noah, you go in and you take certain animals with you. You take your family with you. They went in and God closed the door. And as God closed the door, I'm sure that there were those who pounded on the outside and said, Noah, open to us. Noah, we've shipped you some supplies. Do you remember us? Noah couldn't do anything about it. Because if you'll read the scriptures closely, it didn't say Noah closed the door, but God shut the door, and the door wasn't open until God got ready to open it again. And when God closes the door on you, it's going to be too late. This is the day. Now is the accepted time. Now is your opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and then come and confess Him as your personal Savior. Those of you that are here, we want to sing a hymn of invitation. And as God deals with your heart, and you can repent of your sins, and you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and tell us about it. We have several pastors here. Now, we're not saying you come and join Big Bone Baptist Church. We're not saying you go and join the church of your choice. But what I'm saying is that if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you want instruction, your pastor will be here, or I'll be here, or one of our young men will be here to help you and to show you the way of salvation. We don't say, come and make profession of faith, and that's all there is to it. We believe you ought to follow up. You ought to become a member of a New Testament church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to follow the Lord in baptism, and you ought to let your light shine that others can see Christ living within you. So will you stand tonight, and those of you that are here, you're lost. We invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, inviting you, as God's Spirit draws you, to come and let it publicly be known that you have repented of your sins and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What's the